appreciation and for those prayers, men. They were used of the Lord to minister to me and my family, and I know they ministered to Greg and his family as well. Before I begin the message this morning, I want to kind of put a prologue to it. I believe that God is desiring to lead us these next few weeks into some very deep spiritual waters. I believe that for those of you that are willing to walk with Him, there are going to be deeper levels of grace available these next few weeks to move into deeper levels of love, to move into deeper levels of trust, to move into deeper levels of dependence on Him, to move into deeper levels of faith, to move into deeper levels of power and insight. But you must be willing to pay the price to walk with the Lord. And you say, what is that price, preacher? That price, I believe, is an undistracted heart. An undistracted heart. Now, some of you are thinking, well, preacher, you know, if I had as much time to spend in study and prayer as you do, then I could walk close to the Lord too. But, you know, I have to work for a living. And I have one of those sure, honest to God jobs, right? Well, let me tell you, you can still walk close to the Lord, even though you may not be able to spend the amount of time that I can spend, because you have to be at work and your mind has to be involved with things at work or at school. Your mind has to be involved in studying of subjects such as history or math or whatever. Because it's not so much a matter of the mind as it is a matter of the heart. You see, your mind can be occupied 8 to 10 hours a day in doing your job, but your heart can still be focused on God. See, that's the key, the heart. Turn over to Luke chapter 8 for a moment. Because if you're going to walk with the Lord these next few weeks as He moves us into deep spiritual waters, you must be careful that you guard your heart and do not allow it to be distracted. Luke chapter 8. Jesus is speaking, and Jesus is speaking about kingdom truth. And He tells a parable. And in this parable, He talks about the importance of how we receive the truth of God when it goes out. And that truth of God can go out in a message, through a sermon. It can go out in your personal time with the Lord in the Word. It can go out on the radio as you hear a preacher on the radio. It can go out as you listen to your New Testament on cassette tape. Many different ways the Word goes out. But the key issue is, how do you receive the Word? And a key question in that is, what's the condition of your heart? And your mind plays a part, but your heart is more important. Look what Jesus says. Luke chapter 8. And we'll skip over to... And He talks about four different kinds of soils, and those soils represent different heart conditions of people. Now, I'm going to center in on the last two. And He said, the seed which fell among the thorns, and what happened was the seed fell in the thorns and it began to grow, but the thorns and weeds grew up and choked it, so it did not produce any fruit. Now, Jesus is explaining what that means, and He says, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good, look at that next word, heart. Now you'd think he'd say, now, the good seed, those who heard the word with a clear mind. I mean, they were focused. They were listening. They were intent. And they heard the word with a clear understanding mind. But he doesn't say that, does he? He says they heard it with an honest and a good heart. And they hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Now the three things that Jesus mentions that will rob us from receiving His truth and walking into these waters that He has for us, these deeper levels, those three things are matters of the heart, not so much matters of the mind. Worries. Now, worries are matters of the heart. Now, you think about them, but you know what they do? They grab your heart, don't they? Fear. Worry is nothing but a form of fear. Fear is an emotion. Fear grabs your heart. Jesus said if we allow worries in our life, fear, because of things we think might happen, this will distract us from His Word, from Him, and will not be able to enter into the deep water. Are you a worry wart? Are you worrying about something this morning? Is there something that's looming over you that's causing knots in your stomach? That's causing you to have headaches? But unless you deal with that and remove that distraction, you're not going to be able to walk in these waters that God wants to bring you into. Second thing He says, not on the worries, but riches. And you know there's nothing sinful about money. Nothing sinful about the dollar bill. Or the $1,000 bill for that matter. But when that grabs your heart, then it becomes sin, doesn't it? When your heart is set on riches, accumulating material things, accumulating material wealth, then that distracts you from your walk with the Lord. And then thirdly, the pleasures of life. Now again, there's certainly nothing wrong with pleasure. But when that captures your heart, and that's what you live for, and that's what you seek day in and day out, I want to have fun, I want to have pleasure. We live in a hedonistic society. That's one of the watchwords of our day. What can make me have fun? What can I do to enjoy myself? We live for Friday so we can have the weekend to have pleasures. And we live for pleasures. Now when that happens, your heart's distracted. And you'll not be able to walk into these deep spiritual waters because your heart's not totally given to the Lord. But those who receive the word in a good and honest heart and hold fast to the word with perseverance will bear much fruit. Now what's your heart condition this morning? I think you desire, many of you desire to walk in these deeper levels with the Lord. But are you being distracted? Is your heart being distracted this morning? By worries, by the pursuit of pleasures, by the pursuit of riches? Is your heart being distracted? We're going to have a few moments of just prayer and you spending time with the Lord, and you deal with these issues if they're there. You just confess to the Lord, yeah, Lord, I'm worried, and these worries are hindering my walk with You. But I don't want to be that way. And I want to open my heart to You and You alone. I want to be undistracted. I want my heart to be Yours. I want to have that good and honest heart. Lord, I look to You to do that work. See, only He can do it, but He will do it as we call upon Him. Okay, let's pray. Father, I believe you desire to bring many of these people into some deep waters with you these next few weeks. And you desire that their hearts not be distracted, but their hearts be fully given to you. Even though their minds will have to concentrate on other responsibilities and work and school and other things, their hearts can stay focused on you. Lord, I pray your Spirit right now would show each of us if our heart is being distracted away from you, that we might confess and ask you to give us that heart that is pure, that is good, that is honest, totally given to you. Last week, we saw that the overriding objective of all that is created, all of the universe, is to move to that great day, that glorious day, when the Lord Jesus Christ, having subjected all authorities, having subjected all things under His sovereign rule, will then hand this kingdom to God the Father, and Jesus will subject Himself to God, that God might be all in all. It's all moving to that glorious day. This week, the Holy Spirit brought to your minds, many of you, that phrase, that God might be all in all. Because He is dealing with you. Because that issue must be settled before we can move into the deeper waters. That He might be all in all in every aspect of your life. You see, that was God's intention from the beginning of His creation. That He would be all in all in His creation. The physical world is dependent upon Him. If God did not do all, at all times, the sun would not continue to shine. The earth would not continue to revolve around the sun. The stars would not continue in their path in the sky. I mean, you and I recognize that. We know God has to keep the forces at work, gravity and whatever other forces there are. God must keep them working at all times. He must be all in all. When God created the animal kingdom, He created it with the purpose that He would be all in all. If He didn't provide for those animals, they wouldn't eat. He didn't provide for them the knowledge of a simple thing like how to spin a spider web. Now, it's not really simple, though. Do you know how long it would take you and I to learn how to construct a spider web? I mean, it would take some great engineering feat. But yet, a spider taught by no one because God enables it. And throughout the animal kingdom, you see that, don't you? Dependence on God. And when God created Adam, He created Adam for Adam to realize that God was to be all in all in his life. Adam was to totally depend upon God for everything that he needed. And God would graciously and joyfully supply everything that Adam needed. But when Adam and Eve sinned, everything changed, didn't it? Adam began to think, hey, I don't need God. I can do some of this myself. And Adam began to depend less and less on God and to depend more and more on himself. And a growing sense of self-sufficiency, pride, began to grow into Adam and into his descendants. And we have forgotten, mankind has forgotten, that God is to be all in all. We have come to the point that we think we are all in all. We can do anything and everything we want to do. But God sent Jesus Christ to restore His original intention, that He would be all in all. And Jesus came as God. And as God-man, He lived with God being all in all in His life, in every area of His life. He was totally dependent on God. His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, His ascension back into heaven. It was all God. God was everything to Him. He never did a thing without checking in to see what Heavenly Father wanted Him to do. He could have, but He did not. He never said a word that the Heavenly Father didn't say, "Say this." He lived in absolute 100% total dependence upon His Father to be all in all in His life. And He wanted to show you and me that that's what God intends of us as Christians. God wants to bring us back to that realization that He is to be all in our lives right now, just as He will be all in all of creation on that grand and glorious day. Now, I mentioned to you last week, what does it mean for God to be all in every aspect of our lives? Because that phrase may be a little bit nebulous to you. What does it mean? You say, God be all in all. Well, what does that really mean concretely? All right, this is what it means. For God to be all in your life, that means these things should be true in every area, every facet of your life. It means, first of all, I am completely dependent upon God in this area. It means I have realized my nothingness in this area of my life and God's everythingness. Now, I'll make those words up because they express what I'm seeking to say. I'm not looking to myself to do anything in this area. I'm looking to God. I know I'm nothing. And He is everything. It means I have completely surrendered to God in this area of my life. I'm not holding on to it. I am not possessing it. I'm surrendering it totally to Him. It means I'm trusting God to be all and to do all in this area of my life. Now, that does not mean that I do nothing. But it means I realize I'm just a vessel and God has to work through me. It means that I am living in obedience to God in this area of my life. This area of my life lines up with His Word. It means that God is all important to me in this area of my life. That is, His glory, His will. Not my will and my glory, but His will and His glory is all important to me in this area of my life. And this week, the Holy Spirit has been revealing to us areas of our life where God was not all in all, where these things are not true in our lives. In order that they may become true in our lives as we call upon God. Now, I promised you last week that I would give you some steps to help you live so that God may be all in your life. Now, let me tell you, these steps are just a vehicle to help you move to the reality of God being all in every aspect of your life. You see, the steps do not work. He works. All right? Don't get sidetracked with the steps. They are just a vehicle. He is the one who works. He is the one we look to. He is the one we seek. These are just a vehicle to help you move to that reality that He may be all in all. And realize that He is the one that must do that work. And He will do it as you look to Him. And we'll only be able to chance to look at one of these today. And that's the first one. Take time and trouble to give God His place. Take time and trouble to give God His place. Now that means, first of all, you need to study God. You need to meditate more upon Him than what you have done. Now this does involve your mind. You need to take the time and trouble to pull aside from your normal routine and activities to think more about God. To meditate more about your God. To study your God. And what you can do is to get some books that are written about the attributes of God. Some books that will help explain to you things about God that you may not have known before. And I want to recommend three. A.W. Pink has a book called Gleanings in the Godhead. Gleanings in the Godhead, A.W. Pink. J.I. Packer, Knowing God. Many of you are familiar with that book. Pick it up again and read it. J.I. Packer, Knowing God. And those of you that are more philosophical, A.W. Tozer's book, The Knowledge of the Holy. Knowledge of the Holy. These can be ordered at a Christian bookstore. Read, meditate on God. Ask God to reveal Himself to you in deeper measures. He will. He desires to reveal Himself to you. But you must take the time and the trouble to be with Him. Ask Him to do so. Meditate on God. Second thing you do to give God His place is to see God's hand in everything. You see, what's going to happen is the more you come to know God, and the more you realize His greatness, and the more intimately you come acquainted with Him, you will begin to see His hand in everything that goes on. You'll understand His omnipresence. God's everywhere. His omnipotence. God is all-powerful. You'll understand His sovereignty as you've never understood it before. As Ephesians 1:11 says of God, who works all things after the counsel of His will. Now listen to that. God works all things after the counsel of His will. That means there are no accidents. There are no accidents in this world, folks. There are no coincidences. Everything is an act of a sovereign God. Now, when you start really understanding and seeing God, you'll begin to see God's hand in everything. You'll see God's hand in the blessings of your life. Just the simple things like having a house to live in. The simple things of being born in America. The simple things of having food on your table. You'll say, God, You provided this. Thank You. You gave me the parents that I have. You caused me to look like I look and have the abilities that I have and live where I live. Thank You, God. This job I have, it's no accident. It's a work of Your hand. Thank You, God. Everything that I have, because the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. God, You've given this to me, all of it. Thank You. And you begin to see God's hand everywhere. And when you begin to see God's hand everywhere, then you're beginning to give God His place. And then as you study Romans 8:28 and 29, which says, God causes all things to work together for good. To those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. For those whom God foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. Then you'll begin to see God's hand even in the adversity and the troubles of your life. You see, we don't have much trouble seeing God's hand in the blessing. But I want you to know God's hand is just as much involved in the adversity, in the difficulties, in the troubles, in the heartaches of your life. God, You're working in my hardships. God, You're working in this adversity too. You see, Job understood some of what it meant for God to be all in all in the adversities of life. After he lost his children, his possessions, his home, his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? You know what Job said? He said, can we accept blessings from God and not accept adversity also? You see, Job understood a bit of what it meant for God to be all in all in his life, not only in the blessings, but in the adversities as well. And when we begin to see God's hand in everything, in nature, in providence, in adversity, in heartache, then we're giving God His place. And God is becoming all in all in our situation. Nothing happens by accident. There are no coincidences. God is sovereignly working out all the details. But not only must we see the hand of God in everything, but more importantly, you must see the heart of God in everything. See the heart of a loving Father. In your adversity, in your heartache, see the heart of a loving Father who says to you, I love you. And I am more concerned about your holiness than I am your happiness. And I desire for you to be conformed to the image of my Son Jesus. I desire to break away that selfishness, to break away that self-life, that I can be your all in all. But I'm doing it because I love you. The Bible says God is near to the brokenhearted and to those that are crushed in spirit. God hurts when you hurt. Just like a parent hurts when a child hurts, God hurts when you hurt. And you know He loves you enough that He's willing to hurt to make you like Jesus. That's the love. So when you're going through that heartache, that adversity, and you don't understand it, you say, God, why? Just remember, God's not in heaven just looking down saying, ha, tough luck, bud. Just suck it up and keep going. And He is hurting with you. He is saying the why is because I love you and I want your holiness. You've got all of eternity to be happy. I want you to be holy. I want you to love me more and I want you to depend on me more. And I want to knock out all this of your life that's not of me. All this desire, this pride, all this that is drawing you away from me, all this that's distracting your heart, I want to take it out. That's why. But I'm hurting with you. And I'm here with you to go through it. Meet God in your adversity. Meet God in it. When you go through that heartache, when you go through that pain, say, I will meet God in this. God, I want to meet you. I want to honor you in this. I want to walk with you in this. You may not understand, but as you see the heart of God, you'll be giving God His place in that adversity. And He will be all in all in that area. And He'll be glorified. Your whole view of life will change. You'll say, Lord, it all depends on you. Your heart work in my life. I can see you everywhere. God, take your rightful place in my life, in my family, in my devotions, in my work, in my school life, in my social life. God, take your rightful place. Be all in all. Lord, I bow my life before your sovereignty. Take time and trouble to give God His place. See His hand in everything. And more importantly, see His heart. And what about your life this morning? Are you giving God His place? I don't know. What place does He want? He wants to be all in all. Are you taking time and trouble to think about God, to meditate on God, to spend time with God? Do you see the hand of God in everything that's happening in your life? Do you see the heart of God? The Bible says righteousness and justice are the foundations of His throne. And loving kindness and truth go before Him. You know what that means? The foundation of His throne, that's where He makes His decrees. Nothing happens that is not righteous and just in the sight of God. He does nothing but what is righteous and just. And His loving kindness precedes Him. It's from His hand of love that you experience what you're experiencing. Turn to Him and say, "Yes, Father, I accept this. I love You. Be all in all. Purify my heart that I might walk with You more intimately, closer in these days." Let's pray. Father, You've already opened up the door for deeper spiritual things just in this time this morning. If we'll take the time and the trouble to give You Your place, if we'll guard our heart and not allow it to be distracted, but given to You. Father, show us. Show us if we have seen Your hand in everything that's happened to us. Show us Your heart in everything. For we desire to walk with You. We desire for You to be all in all. And even this desire comes from You. I thank You. You're going to take this seed that's sown this morning. You're going to cause it to take root this week. You're going to cause it to bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps this morning you realize that you've never come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But you don't know Him personally. And maybe you have been a member of a church. You may have been baptized years ago. You may have attended church regularly, but Christianity is not a religion. It's not doing things. It's not going to church. It's not reading the Bible. It's a relationship. A relationship with the living God. Do you have that relationship? That's the question. Jesus says eternal life is to know Thee, and He meant not know with His mind, but to know with your heart, to know intimately, Thee, the only true God, and Him whom Thou hast sent. Do you know Him? Let me introduce you to Him today if you do not. And you can begin to know Him today. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door," and He means the door of your life, door of your heart. He says, "I knock. I want to come in." You knock because you want to come in. "If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him." He'll come in to stay, to develop that relationship with you. But it begins by you opening up your life to Him and inviting Him to come in as your Lord, as your Savior. Realizing you can do nothing to save yourself, but He's done everything through His life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Realizing you do not deserve it, it's a gift of His free grace. Will you come to Christ today? He says just be willing to turn away from any sin in your life. He doesn't say turn away and then come, because you cannot. It takes His power. But He says be willing to turn away. That's repentance. And I'll give you the grace to turn. But come to me in faith. Don't stand and sing. If you need to step out and share with me that your desire to know Christ, you do so. If you need to come and pray, you do what the Holy Spirit's dealt with you this week as we stand and sing together. Lord.